This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, presented by Original Hooters. Let's hear more about our in-season sponsor for the second straight year.
At Hooters, you can watch the games with all your buddies. And when your buddies are the world-famous Hooters girls, there's always plenty of ice-cold beer and those craveable wings that'll knock your taste buds into next Tuesday. Hooters girls know plenty about football, but we really know the fans that live for it. So hang out with all your buddies all season long at Hooters, your official hangout for game day. And while you're there, enjoy Hooters' great game day eats. Join us for the Bucks Players Show every Monday night at 5 p.m. at Hooters on Hillsboro.
I do love that Hooters in the greater Tampa Bay area not only has me out to host the podcast drafts, we also have the season opener daily fantasy event at the St. Pete location with Tony Metzler, who was in the podcast league. I talked about who made the finals of the two respective podcast leagues in a podcast earlier this week, but my sincere thanks to Original Hooters for their presenting sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. All right, let's go. It is championship week. Don't even suggest your championship week will be determined in week 17, because I'm not going to be breaking down for season-long leagues anything in week 17 because your leagues don't know how to format. I'll be talking about some daily plays. I'll be reviewing some things from week 16, but next week, if your league is dumb enough to determine a season-long championship in week 17, you're not going to get any help from me. You need to change your league and do the smart thing. So this week, let's go for week 16. First of all, let's talk about Josh Gordon. This was inevitable. I find it interesting that Gordon, for whatever reason, seems to be the one player. I mean, I guess there's someone else out there that when they continually make mistakes after being given multiple chances to redeem themselves and being put on a team that could obviously win him a Super Bowl and he can help them as he led them in passing yards, that there's this outpouring of sympathy for Gordon that there isn't for other professional athletes who fall under the guise of being suspended for various reasons within their league. This is why I have never touched Josh Gordon in fantasy football. And here you go. Even for those of you that felt he was worth it to me and it paid off and I stuck with him, and here you are in your championship, or here you are trying to avoid last place, and he suspended the week you need to win the title or win your last place game. Hate to say it, but to you, serves you right. That's why you can't count on people like this. And that's why Josh Gordon should have fallen off all draft boards back in your season-long league. Now, if you picked him up on waivers, I get that. I do. But here he is at the very end to disappoint you again, just as he's disappointing Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and everyone in the Patriots organization who gave him yet another chance on the best organization in the National Football League, the one most likely to go to the Super Bowl every year. So as it relates to the ripple effect in New England, it can't hurt Edelman, who's been very consistent, not explosive, but consistent, high floor. It can't hurt Gronk, who has shown signs of life in recent weeks after falling as low as 177 overall in standard scoring leagues, what, 3-4 weeks ago. I'm wondering what this might mean for James White, who has seen a dip in volume and production, off at one point mid-season being RB6, and that was in standard scoring leagues. He would have been even higher in PPR leagues. You know, these are the games we're getting to that point where James White only made a name for himself for a while. We're at that point. He's kind of the Patriots version of a baseball Mr. October, dare I compare a Patriot player to, say, a Yankee player. But that's always what James White traditionally did for the Patriots. And I'm wondering if now he will have his number called more on passing plays with Gordon out of the mix. Granted, they run entirely different routes, but still, there are targets out there. And I'm just wondering if White is the best choice to receive some of those targets, especially since Sony Michel just doesn't look like he has it. Either he doesn't have it, or Belichick and McDaniels just don't want to call his number right now. Didn't get a touch until the second quarter of the Steeler game. So as it relates to James White, if you've been disappointed by White's production the last month or so, you might have hope to believe that it goes back up in week 16 as a result of no Josh Gordon being out there. All right, let's move on to just some other overall things. I was looking at projections of players, specifically via Yahoo, where I platform my leagues, both the podcast league and the foundation league, and just sort of looked at in standard scoring leagues what numbers they project for some of the for some of the names this week. And also, there's a lot of good injury news out there for a lot of you that have gotten to your championship game or need Melvin Gordon to avoid last place penalty. Sure feels like Gordon's going to go. In a Saturday night situation, the Chargers as hot as any team in the National Football League right now, as questions are starting to bubble up on the Rams. The Saints haven't been as offensively productive in recent weeks since the Cowboy loss. It's been a few weeks in a row now. Saints lose to the Cowboys, have an eh game against the Buccaneers, and then have another eh game against the Carolina Panthers, who haven't won a game in almost 2 months and are now benching Cam Newton for the season. We'll talk about Cam here in a moment. But the news looks positive for Melvin Gordon owners. The news looks positive for Joe Mixon owners. Mixon has had, what, maybe one down game the last month and a half. Has been a very consistent performer. You know, so as many running backs were unavailable or disappointed you in recent weeks due to injury, the Fournette getting kicked out of a game, suspended for the next game, and not much since. What's another good example? Connor getting injured. Kareem Hunt being booted from the Chiefs and presumably the NFL for a while when we start next season. Mixon and Chris Carson. And yeah, I've been very leery of investing much time and belief in Seattle running backs. But I do believe in the Seahawks, unlike a number of people who now don't want to admit they thought the Seahawks were done and rebuilding when they disassembled the Legion of Boom and they let Michael Bennett walk, which, if nothing else, just makes the Seahawks a better organization for not having that person in the locker room anymore. And Bennett's not stealing kicker shoulder pads anymore. Albeit Janikowski's shoulder pads are bigger than the ones Michael Bennett wears anyway. So that all said, Carson's been really good. He's been very, very consistent. Not enormous games, but you'll take the double digits into, you know, you'll take the 10 to 15-ish and above you're getting every week out of Carson in Seattle, much like Joe Mixon owners will take what he's been producing. And now the Seahawks are a good team. The Bengals are bad. And let's just take Joe Mixon as an example here. Christian McCaffrey as an example. And Saquon Barkley as an example. One of the rules of thumb, for lack of a better term, in many years of fantasy football has been there's no such thing as a good fantasy running back on a bad football team. that doesn't appear to be true anymore. You can even throw Nick Chubb into this equation, although Chubb didn't become the starter until Carlos Hyde was traded, traded off planet Earth, because nobody's heard a thing from him since he was traded. So Chubb is on a sub-500 team. Barkley is on a sub-500 team. McCaffrey is on a team that has lost, what now, six straight. And Joe Mixon on as bad a team as any of those until the Bengals beat the Raiders on Sunday in Cincinnati. All of those running backs have been rather good and delivered on. Look, some were drafting Joe Mixon, I guess, back end of round two, probably no later than round three. He's delivered. McCaffrey was considered a fringe RB1/2, probably like RB9-10. Christian McCaffrey next year, you can make the case, is going to be the number one running back selected and will not fall outside the top four. He won't. Neither will Saquon Barkley on the Giants. Now, we expect there'll be a number of different things that happen with the Giants going into next season. I can't imagine they come back with the same quarterback and with the same head coach. One or the other seems to have to go, if not both. But Barkley will be in that mix as well. Chubb will hit the ground running in Browns training camp with clearly a quarterback who can play in the National Football League and some momentum that Cleveland seemingly will have going into next season if they actually hire the right head coach and they don't just decide, oh, well, Greg Williams has done fine. We don't need to do anything else. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. You need to go out and get an actual head coach. Not one who fumbles and bumbles through bad time management decisions and otherwise, as he illustrated in the Week 15 game against the Broncos. Williams is not head coaching material. If you're the Browns and you're actually serious about being in the playoffs, go out and get an actual head coach. Don't fall into that trap of, oh, the interim guy's just fine. You know, this is our – no, don't. Just stop. Go actually out and get yourself a real head coach. With winning head coaching experience, or someone who, for all the reasons that you can discern, will be a good head coach, working his way to that through being an assistant. Also, we are learning that Vance Joseph will be out in Denver. Just didn't get it done. Things seem to be, you know, when one unit moves forward, it seems like the other moves back. Denver's defense wasn't nearly as good this year. Granted, they lost Chris Harris late in the season. Very good slot corner. We hear Vance Joseph is going to be out. But as long as John Elway can't evaluate quarterbacks, unless there's another Peyton Manning out there, I really don't know what Elway does next from a head coaching standpoint. Let's talk about Cam a little bit. For those of you that have relied on Cam Newton, and granted his numbers have trended down as the Panthers have trended down, but now you're without Cam Newton, potentially for a championship game. I don't think this affects McCaffrey at all. If nothing else, I mean, think about it. If Taylor Heineke, right? If this guy can't throw a screen pass or a check down to Christian McCaffrey, then he shouldn't even be in the National Football League. If anything else, McCaffrey might be even more of a safety blanket to Cam Newton's backup than he became to Cam Newton himself. Also, we don't have a ton to go on that Cam Newton's backup is any threat to run the ball or any threat to take it himself on short yardage or second and goal at the 1 foot line. So McCaffrey may be more in play there. And you would say, well, this just means defenses are going to key more on Christian McCaffrey. What do you think they've been doing? You know, it's like defenses have been, you know, playing for Saquon Barkley. Sometimes there's only so much you can do. There's only so many resources you can commit especially, you know, when you can only commit maybe one player to a player out of the backfield, and if that player can't make the tackle initially, then that player is in the open field. So I wouldn't worry if you're a McCaffrey owner. You weren't thinking about sitting him anyway this week, but I wouldn't worry that Cam's benching is going to hurt McCaffrey. If McCaffrey's points are off, I don't think it has anything to do with the quarterback change. All right. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com, ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. Frank Gore did go on IR. I haven't been very gung-ho on Miami players all year, rightfully so, just because Gase seems to game plan using different players for different games, and it works for him. I think the Dolphins win this game. Ballage seems like he's in a good spot in this game. With Gore now on IR, there should be some carries there, some additional carries there as he put up numbers last week. So that's just one other thing that stood out to me. Just kind of looking around the NFL this week for various reasons. Looks like Keenan Allen will go. Let's talk about that one real quick in a high-profile Saturday night game where I wonder if the Ravens' number is up. I'm not saying they're not a playoff team, but since they've gone to Lamar Jackson and what I call the Big 8 offense, they have, I think their four wins are against defense ranked 28th. It's something like four of the bottom five. Yeah, including the Buccaneers last week, where the Ravens just controlled the clock and the Bucs touched the ball all of four times in the second half. I'm not comfortable with the Ravens in that spot. Traveling cross country one day earlier with a lot of film now on Jackson and Edwards and the resurrection again of Kenneth Dixon. And the Chargers just, they're the hot team right now. And, you know, I know they're unbeaten on the road, and say what you will about where they play, but I just think the Chargers are a much superior football team to the Ravens right now. And yes, I acknowledge the Ravens defensively are one of the tougher matchups out there. You know what? I just think Phillip Rivers and Melvin Gordon can handle it. I do. You know, earlier this year, the Ravens put up 21 points in standard scoring leagues in a shutout against the Titans. That was before the Titans got their act together. Even the Titans now, with Derrick Henry off a couple of big games and Marcus Mariota healthy and an effective defense, but the Titans aren't in the same conversation with the Chargers right now. So while I have already said on previous podcasts, you do not just blindly put big names in your lineup, independent of the matchup, independent of numbers, or independent of, and I think this is most important, beyond the matchup. If a player hasn't been producing for you for a few weeks now, yeah, if you think you have something better, go ahead and make the call. You know, Michael Thomas hasn't been putting up numbers consistently the last month. Adam Thielen has suffered as Kirk Cousins has suffered in Minnesota, and Dalvin Cook's arrow has pointed up. Diggs salvaged a day with that early touchdown against the Dolphins. But I think that's as important as the matchup or who else you have. If an established name that was just set it and forget it for the first 10 to 12 weeks of the season, but he just hasn't done much, and there's a cause and effect here, and it's not really injury related, yeah, maybe he's not going to do much now when it really matters for you to win a championship or avoid last place. I gave Adam Thielen as just one example of that. And of course, I talked earlier this week about, you know, Kelce, and the that was more a matchup against the Chargers where traditionally he doesn't do well. But some are even asking me, well, what about Tyreek Hill against Seattle? I personally think it's more of a Kelce game than a Hill game against the Seattle Seahawks. And as far as Williams is concerned, if he gets the majority of the work on the ground, I do think he's touchdown dependent. It worked in week 15. You got two of them. But I think that's more chasing points than it was playing Derrick Henry, or is playing Derrick Henry, you know, based on Henry's volume and the yardage that is there in addition to the touchdowns. All right, so Todd Wright, fantasyfootball@gmail.com for your season-long league questions. Get them to me by Saturday night. And if it involves a thought on the Ravens and Chargers, get it to me earlier. Actually, get it to me on Friday night. I'm going to be running around all day on Saturday, but I'll answer all the emails before I go to sleep very late on Saturday night. I can't answer them on Sunday morning, so get them in by Saturday night. And if they involve the Saturday games, please get them to me. Get them to me by Friday night to be safe. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. And with your email, give me a little background on what you're thinking, why you're thinking it, what your options are. I like when you just sort of talk it out with me rather than just saying, here's my lineup and what do you think? No, there's just kind of no conversation in that. So you guys have been really good about it in recent weeks. Again, ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. That does it for this edition of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast presented by Original Hooters. Good luck winning your championship or avoiding the dreaded last place penalty this weekend.